All right, well, good morning. Hope everyone had a good Christmas and looking forward to a new year. It's coming whether you like it or not, but 2025, it's hard to believe. It's just, I think the older I get, the faster the years go, so. But I'm thankful for another one, amen? So hopefully, you brought your Bibles with you or you have a device that you can turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 is where we're going to be today. So in December of 2023, we began the Gospel of John. And here we are. We've made it through 12 chapters. We're going to finish it today. And so, just to kind of give you a heads up on what is coming, we're not going to be in John 13 next week. We're going to take a little break at the beginning of the year to do something a little different to start off the new year, but then we'll pick back up in John probably in a couple months. So we will finish John. This is just kind of part one. It's just like a TV show or a book or a movie. You have to wait to see what happens. But we'll pick back up in John chapter 13 here in a couple months. But there's a reason why we're breaking it here, because from chapters 1 through 12 in the Gospel of John is kind of Jesus' public ministry. At the beginning of chapter 13, he now turns to spending time with his disciples in the leading up to his crucifixion and then resurrection. So we're breaking it here for a very specific reason, because the subject matter, the context, the audience, everything changes, because Jesus now, from where we are today, he turns from the public to the private, to his disciples. And so we finish up chapter 12, and that's kind of what we're seeing today, is this is kind of Jesus's final proclamation in his public ministry. The seminary president, or the president of the seminary that I attended, Dr. Aiken, he has this saying that he has that says, last words are lasting words. And he specifically says that about the Great Commission, because if you know the Great Commission in Matthew 28, before Jesus ascends to the Father, he gives that Great Commission where it says, you know, go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. And he says that just before he goes back to ascend to be with the Father. And so that's where Dr. Aiken says, anytime in Scripture, this is just a little nugget for you for Bible study, but anytime there's a last of something in Scripture, that's important. We should take note of that. So the Great Commission is Jesus's kind of last words before he ascends to the Father. But what we read today is kind of a last proclamation to the public, at least in the Gospel of John. And so in this, what we're going to read today, beginning in chapter 12, verse 44, we're going to see the purpose for Jesus' coming. That's what we're going to talk about, is why Jesus came. And we're going to see it here in this passage today. Because Jesus has been teaching and preaching to Israel, and what has been happening since chapter 6, for the most part, people are rejecting Jesus. If we were to look at Jesus' ministry, we would not see this great growth, we would see this great shrinking. Because ever since chapter 6, people have been following Jesus for the miracles, but then when Jesus opened his mouth, what happened? The people turned away. They say, this is too hard. Or I don't believe that, I don't agree with you. And then they start turning away. And so people are rejecting Jesus. And so here now, Jesus is going to give this last proclamation to the world about why he even came. What was his ministry all about? Now, this may sound, these points, the themes, the topics that we're covering here may seem repetitive, because you may say, well, Jonathan, this is what you and Pastor Brian have been talking about for a year. Like, this is what we have heard over and over. And that's okay. This may seem repetitive. And that if it does, that means you've been listening. If you say, wow, I've never heard this before, then you might want to go back and listen. But there's a reason why this is repetitive. This is all information that you should have heard before, because what this is this great kind of summary of chapters 1 through 12. This is really a summation of why Jesus came. And there's a reason that I believe that John does this. Because look at verse 44. It says, "And Jesus cried out and said." Now, here's another little nugget for Bible study, is anytime that we start in a passage, we should always say, what's the context of this, right? Context is king, right? So, in verse 44, it says, "And Jesus cried out." Now, if you were here last week, if you're paying attention, if you're following along, if you remember last week, it should cause you to ask a question, because look back at verse 36. It says, "When Jesus had said these things," meaning what he had said previously in chapter 12, "when he had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them." So if that's true, if Jesus hid himself from the people, then who is he crying out and saying verses 44 through 52? We need to understand that. Because if Jesus has hid himself away, then is he just talking to himself? Who is he talking to? And I think that there's a purpose and an audience that we need to understand before we even dive into this passage. So the context of this, I believe, is that first, the purpose of it is, like I said, I think this is a climactic summary of his ministry. This sums up, and I'm going to give you four reasons why Jesus came. Why did he come? What was his ministry about? What was his purpose for even coming? Jesus is going to give us that kind of summary for us. But I think even more importantly than the purpose, I think we need to understand the audience. And here's what I believe the audience is. When it says that Jesus cried out and said, I believe he's not saying this to a group of people. I don't think he's saying this to a crowd. I think what John is doing here, through the words of Jesus, did Jesus actually say this, or is John summing it up? I think it could be John summing up Jesus, now talking to us, the reader. If you know anything about drama or movies or TV or anything like that, they have this thing where they call breaking the fourth wall. So if you ever go to a play or you watch a movie or a TV show and there's all the action that's going on, but then in a moment, one of the main characters turns and talks to you, the audience. It happens in plays. It happens sometimes in movies and TV shows. We call that breaking the fourth wall, where the characters are now talking to you, the audience. I think that's kind of what's happening here. Is Jesus has proclaimed who he is over and over to the crowds. Now John is using the words of Jesus and he's talking to us. And so Jesus is crying out to you and to me. And to all the readers of John. And they said, you have seen who Jesus is. And you have heard what he has said. And you have seen the miracles. And the crowd is rejecting him. The question John wants to ask you and me today is, will you reject him too? So who is the audience of this? I believe it's the reader. And for us today, that means you and me. Are you going to believe in Jesus? Or are you going to reject him? And so we're going to see John talk about the four reasons why Jesus came. As we're challenged with that today, are we going to believe in Jesus? Like John says, are we going to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in him, we may have life in his name? Or will we reject him? So here's the four reasons that he came. Look at, again, at verse 44. So now Jesus cries out and says, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. So number one, the first reason that Jesus came was to represent the Father. To represent the Father. Notice what he says. He says, whoever believes in me believes not in me. You could put in the word not only in me. Jesus is not saying that it's not important to believe in him. He's saying that whoever believes in me believes not in only me, but in him who sent me. Jesus says that to believe in him is to believe in the Father. To reject him also means you're rejecting the Father. You can't have one without the other. You must believe in Jesus in order to receive the Father. He says, if you believe in me, you believe not only in me, but in him who sent me. And then look at verse 45. And whoever sees me, sees him who has sent me. He says, to see me, Jesus says this in other places. He says, no one has seen the Father, but if you, or Paul talks about this in Colossians 1. He says, no one has seen the Father, but to see Jesus is to see the Father. They are that much united and one in the same in nature, in purpose, in will, in character. He says, you can't believe in one without believing in the other. And you can't see one without seeing the other. Now, in today's world, there's certainly atheists and agnostics who will dance around the idea of there is no God, or I'm not sure if there's a God. So I'm not talking about that crowd. But besides that crowd, there's a lot of people who, if you talk to and I talk to, who have no problem with God. They have no problem with a God who created. They have no problem with believing. Well, they can look at creation and say, well, I don't believe this all just happened by chance. I think there's a God, but they think he's distant. They think he's not personal. They don't think he's really interacting right now. They just kind of see, well, maybe he just kind of put all this into action and then just kind of sits back. There's also a group of people who have no problem with Jesus, but they like the happy, you know, loving Jesus, the one with the blonde hair who's holding the lamb. They don't like the Jesus in the Bible. You know, no, we don't like him. And then when it comes to God, they have no problem with a God, but they don't like the God of Scripture. They try to pit Jesus against the God of the Old Testament. You ever heard that discussion? Well, I don't like God of the Old Testament. He seems so angry and mean, but Jesus, I like Jesus. See, there's all those people out there who have those views. Here's the problem. Jesus says all those people are wrong. Because he says, you can't have the Father without having me. And you can't have me without believing in the Father. He said, they go together. You cannot reject one without rejecting the other. You don't get to pick and choose. He says, if you reject me, then you are absolutely rejecting the Father, because we are one in purpose. We're one in nature. We're one in will. Now understand this, they're not different modes, they are not one and the same. There was not God the Father and then God the Son, and that's different manifestations. No, that's modalism, that's false, we don't believe that. They're distinct persons, but they are co-equal, co-eternal, and fully God. But Jesus says it's impossible to say, well, I'm okay with Jesus, but I'm not okay with the God of the Old Testament, or I like God, but I don't believe in Jesus. He says, that's impossible. To deny him is to deny the Father. And this would have been huge for the Jewish people. Because what have we seen through the Gospel of John? Over and over, they have said what? We're cool with God. We're cool with the Father. We just don't believe in you, Jesus. And ultimately, we're going to kill you because we're not cool with you, but I'm still cool with the Father. And see, Jesus says, notice what he says, because the opposite is true. Whoever does not believe in me also believes not in the one who sent me. And if you don't see me for who I am, then you don't see the one that sent me. Jesus says, you can't have it your way. It's not a pick and choose. To receive me is to receive the Father. To reject me is to reject the Father. I found out several months ago, I found out that Publix grocery store, this is not an ad for Publix, but Publix grocery stores has this buy one, get one free list every week where you can go and there's items on there. If you buy one, you get one free. Well, I learned pretty quickly when I went to check out that it's not really buy one, get one free. It's everything's 50% off. So I loved that because I got to decide if I wanted to buy one at 50% off, or did I want to buy one, get one free, and, you know, get both at 50% off. It's all the same. It's all the same, right? I'm not fooled. But I get to decide, do I want one or do I want two? If there's something there and I'm like, well, really, I don't want one. I just want the deal at 50% off, then that's what I can do. If I need two and I'm like, hey, I can go ahead and buy up because I do get both at 50% off, that's great. I get to choose. Jesus says you can't do that with God and the Son. You don't get to pick, I like him, but I don't like him. It doesn't work that way. It's either you get both or you get none. You either accept Jesus because you want to honor the Father, or you're going to lose them both. Joel Beakey says it this way. He says, faith in Christ does not take the eyes of believers off of God, but instead it focuses their eyes on God because God is in Christ and Christ is in God. And I put this in my notes. What you do with Jesus is the clearest test of what you do with God. You can't have one without the other. To believe in the Father is to believe in the one he sent. And that's the truth that we're all confronted with. So we must understand Jesus came to be the representative of the Father. To receive Jesus is to receive the Father. To reject Jesus is to reject the Father. That's important to understand for our own faith, right? But it's also important to understand that when we're making Jesus known. Because like I said, we'll run into people who have no problem with God. If we begin our conversation with, well, what do you think about God? What do you think about spiritual things? That's fine. Just don't let it stop there. Because people have no problem with a generic God that they never really have to serve and bow the knee to. They have no problem with that. We need to channel down and get to who is Jesus. Because John says, that's what matters. Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. When we're making Jesus known, we don't just stop at, well, do you believe in God? Are you good with God? Okay, cool. Then we're one and the same. No, that may not be true. Could be true. But we need to find out, what do they think about Jesus? Because he is the representative of the Father. And here's the big truth of that. You can't get to the Father except through Jesus. That's why it matters. So we have to understand that he is the representative to the Father, a representative of the Father, and we can't get to the Father except through him. Saying that someone believes in God doesn't cut it on judgment day. It's what have you done with Jesus? It's how we've received forgiveness and peace with God. So the first reason that he came is to be the representative of the Father. But not only that, there's another reason Jesus came. Look at verse 46. He says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So the second reason that he came is to radiate the light in darkness. To radiate the light in darkness. Notice how this is written. It says that I have come into the world as light. He is light into the world. But then he tells us why. He came as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. See, this idea of light is a recurring theme in John. Again, this is nothing that should be new to you. Because all the way back in the prologue, all the way back in December 2023, we talked about how John said that Jesus was the true light that had come into the world. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And so we've seen him talk about this, that he is the light of the world. And the problem is that the world is in darkness because of sin, because of the wicked ways of the world that are contrary to the kingdom of God. That's why the world is in darkness, is because we're all born in sin. The world is in darkness and they don't even know it. And not only do they not only know it, but they're helpless to do anything about it. But here's the thing. John says the reason that they're in darkness and the reason they hate the light is because they love the darkness. So not only are they in it and don't know it, not only are they helpless to do anything about it, but they love being in it. And so Jesus says, I came as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And so Jesus came as light to set people free from the darkness so that he can save them from the darkness, so that he can be the way that they come out of darkness, so that they no longer have to remain in darkness. And so Jesus came as the light so that we can see who we are in the light of who he is. See, it's Jesus who gives us the knowledge or the understanding or the eyes to see or the ears to hear that we are sinners who have loved our sin, who have rebelled against the holy God who created us, who created all things in perfection, and yet man sinned against God, and now we're all born sinners. And there is nothing that we can do about that. But God sent his son to come to earth to die, to live the perfect life and to die in our place so that we could be forgiven. It's Christ who gives us the light to be able to see that. And so he came to shine the light so that we won't have to. Notice, if you write in your Bibles, if you take notes, notice he says, may not remain in darkness. See, here's the thing. If you're a believer today, if you say, I'm a follower of Jesus, then Christ has shone the light in your heart so that you don't remain in darkness. If you would say, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Jesus, then my question to you is, are you walking in the light? Or do you find yourself returning to the darkness over and over again? Because what John says here, or what Jesus says through John, is he says you can't remain in darkness. You think about it. I thought, man, if this storm happens today, I've got a perfect illustration here. So now you're just going to have to visualize it. But if the power goes out here, not here because we've got windows, but if the power goes out and you go into like a basement where there's no windows or anything like that, what happens? You're reaching for a light switch. You're reaching for something. You're reaching for your phone, and you're going to turn on the light. You're going to reach for a lamp, right? Because when there's darkness, when there's pitch darkness, you can't see a thing. But all you got to do is flip a light switch, turn on your flashlight on your phone, a regular flashlight, a lamp. What happens? As soon as you do that, what happens? The light comes. A great way to think about that is light pushes back darkness. Because light and darkness can't coexist. They can't. Right? If I were to turn on, I mean, like look here, with these lights on, there can't be darkness right here because there's light. Right? Like, I don't just walk through here and there's all of a sudden pitch black. No, because the light pushes back the darkness. In our hearts, in our life, Jesus says, if you are in light, if Christ is the light in your life, then you cannot remain in darkness. So my question to you is, are you walking in the light, or do you find yourself continually returning to the darkness? Because if you're doing that, then Christ would say, are you in the light? Because you can't be in both. Whoever is in the light cannot remain in darkness. But if we're in the light of Christ, if we have the light of Christ in our life, in our heart, then we can begin to see now everything through his light. We can recognize the schemes of the enemy. We can recognize temptations for what they are. We begin to see, oh no, that's destructive. I'm not going to go there. The old me might have wanted to go there, but now I see it for what it is. I'm going to keep my eyes focused on Christ. So if you're a believer, if you're a follower today, my question to you is, are you growing in holiness and righteousness and purity? Because that's what it means to live in the light. Are you growing in righteousness? Are you growing in purity? Are you growing a hatred for the sin that called Christ, that caused Christ to go to the cross? Do you hate the things you used to once love? Now, I'm not talking about perfection here, right? Because that won't happen on this side of eternity. But are you moving in that direction? And when you sin, does it break your heart? Does it break your heart for the consequences, or does it break your heart because you sinned against God? As a parent, we understand that's two totally different things, right? Our Heavenly Father wants us to understand the very same thing. So does our life show the light of Christ? See, if I were to ask the people that were closest to you, the people that you live with, the people that you work with, the people you go to school with, the people that work around you, if I were to ask them, do you see the light of Christ in that person's life, what would they say? What would they say? Because if we don't radiate the light, Christ came to radiate the light in darkness, but now with Christ in us, we too should go and radiate the light of Christ in the world. That's why he says it's better for me to go away. Because when there's one Jesus, then you've got Jesus. But if he goes away and the Holy Spirit, Christ in us, is now walking in, it's living in us, then when we're walking, we now radiate the light. And so we should be the light to the world as well. But if we're not, then maybe we need to question, are we truly in the light of Christ? You might still be in darkness. And to be in darkness means you're not in Christ. And what Jesus says is for those who are not in Christ, there's a terrible day still to come. And that's what he talks about in this next verse. Look at verse 47. He says, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. So number three, the third reason that Jesus came is to render judgment. To render judgment. Now, if you read 47, you might say, now, Jonathan, did you get your points confused? Because look at what he said. He says, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. So, Jonathan, why are you saying to render judgment? For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. But look at verse 48. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. So is Jesus contradicting himself here? Like, why does he say, I don't judge him, I came to save the world, but then on the last day, there is a judge, and it's my word. See, Jesus has kind of gone back and forth on this throughout the Gospel of John. In John chapter 3, we've got John 3:16, which everybody should, right? That's the first memory verse most of us have. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:17. For I came into the world not to condemn the world, but so that by believing in me, they may be saved. Right? So God sent Jesus to the world to come so that what? By believing in him, some might be saved. Okay, so that links up with verse 47. Whoever hears my word and does not keep them, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Right? So what Jesus is talking about in verse 47, John 3:17, is that when God sent Jesus the Son to earth the first time, he came saying, believe in me and you can be saved. Right? Confess you're a sinner, believe in me, I'm the way to the Father, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Right? Like, we know that. When he came, the invitation was there to the world, believe in me and be saved. And that's the invitation that continues now. Right? That was the invitation when he came. That's the invitation since his ascension. That's now the invitation that we do, that we go and make, right? Believe in Christ. Okay? But then look at verse 48. It's a different time. He says, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him when? On the last day. So see, verse 47, John 3:17, that's talking about the first time I came. Jesus didn't, if Jesus had come to condemn the first time, none of us would even be here. Because he just would have looked at him and said, condemn, 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 condemn. And they just would have all like dropped like flies, right? And he could have. But he came as a savior, not as a judge. He came to be the savior of the world. But verse 48, Jesus says, on the last day, the eschaton, the end of time, on that final day, oh, I'm going to be a judge that day. And what will judge? Who will be judged? The one who rejects me and does not receive my words. And they'll be judged on the last day. So now, Jesus is the Savior. On the last day, all those who reject him, he will be their judge. And I think the reason for this is because, again, if we look from John 6 to John now, to John chapter 12, people have just been rejecting him. And it's easy to look at that and say, well, gosh, Jesus doesn't have anybody following him. What about these people who are turning from him? And he's saying, oh, their day's coming. They don't get to just reject Jesus and go on about their lives. They may seem like that now, but one day they're going to stand before him again. But he won't be saying, believe in me. He's going to say, you rejected me. You heard my word. Notice, it's not people. He says, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words. So to these people who rejected him, one day they're going to have to stand before Jesus. And guess what? Ever since he ascended back to the Father, all those who have heard the words of Jesus in one way or the other that has rejected him, they will be judged as well. Why? Because they rejected him on that last day. Now, here's why I said the audience is so important. Because Jesus isn't talking to the crowd. He's talking to who? You and me, the readers. But in this case today, we're reading it together. So he's talking to you and me. So he's saying, yes, people have rejected him. And yes, they're going to be judged. But that doesn't even matter for you and for me. The question is, what will you do with Jesus? Will you receive his words and yet, or will you not receive his words and reject him? See, the words of Jesus are the dividing line. See, it's not just enough to come to church and hear a sermon or to hear your Sunday school teacher or to even read scripture during the week and just think, I'm good with this. Like, yeah, okay, Jesus, I read that. Okay, book closed. Make sure you don't miss that I read this today. Make sure you saw that I came to church and it was rainy today. And it's holiday. Like, look around. There's a lot of people not here. I'm here. And what is so dangerous about this is there's people who sit in a church today in this. Possibly, I'm not disillusioned enough to think that I know everybody's heart and I know everybody's status with standing before the Lord. There could be people in this building, in this city, in this county, in this state, in this nation, in the world today, sitting in church week, and it's sitting in the same seat that they sit in every week. And they come and they hear the message and they hear the teaching and they sing the songs. And they leave no different than when they came in. The invitation is there, and they say, how long is this going to go? Please don't sing another verse because I'm ready to go to lunch. And you come in every week, or they come in every week, and they never respond to the gospel. And they never respond to the Spirit. And their heart is growing colder and colder and colder to the words of God. And Jesus says, for that person on the last day, all the things that they think they can stand before God and say, look at my giving record. Look at my church attendance. Look at the good deeds I did. Jesus is going to say, yeah, I'm going to read back every sermon that you heard and you never responded to. That's not a witness for you. That's a witness against you. Jesus says, my word will judge you on the last day. And please understand, I'm not mad at you. I love you. And I'm scared for people that think they come to church every week and they read their Bibles and they're doing good deeds. And in the end, it's like Matthew 7. They're going to stand before Jesus and say, didn't I prophesy in your name? I was a deacon. I was a Sunday school teacher. I gave millions of dollars to my church. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And every sermon, every friend, every person who shared the gospel, Jesus is going to remind them of that. And he's going to say, you never knew me. You never responded. Spurgeon said it this way. He says, dear friends, you are deriving from every gospel sermon that you hear either life unto life or else death unto death. If you get no good from it, you will assuredly get harm. An unbelieving hearing of the gospel is a multiplication of curses to your soul. Another sermon for which you have to give account, another rejected exhortation recorded against you, another earnest invitation with which you have refused, and for which you will be held responsible. You are heaping up to yourselves wrath against the day of wrath, even while you hear the word of the Lord. That was written like 200 years ago, close to it. See, this is not just the Jewish people that heard the words of Jesus and saw the miracles. No, it's cultural Christians today. They're doing things that they think make them right. And Jesus says, on the last day, on that day, my word will be a judge against you. And this is not directed at anybody in particular, but I hope if the Spirit is speaking in your heart, you're not telling him, just be quiet and leave me alone. Because if the Spirit is telling you today that's you, then don't walk out of here without responding. Because if you do, your heart's just going to get harder and it's going to get colder. And now there's another thing on the list for the day of wrath, not the day of welcoming. Because if you do not receive Jesus as your Savior, he will one day be your judge. That's the bad news. But I'm thankful that John doesn't end there. Because look at verse 49. It says, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment. What to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. And what I say, therefore, I say as the Father told me. So the fourth reason that Jesus came is to reveal the way to eternal life. To reveal the way to eternal life. The invitation to come to Jesus is to receive eternal life so that we can have peace, so that he will not be our judge, so that we can be welcomed in on the last day, not judged and cast away. Because look at what he says. He says, for I have not spoken on my own authority. What he literally says is, he says, I do not speak from myself. Jesus said, I'm not here making this about me. I'm not here to say these are my ideas. Or do what I say because I'm the smartest man in the room. He's not saying that. He says, what I have been telling you, what I am proclaiming, what I'm telling you now, it's not even from me, it's from the Father who sent me. I say, you may not like this, but understand, this is not my opinion. I wish I could just say, man, it would just be great, just do a few good things and then you'll get into heaven. But that's not what Scripture says. It's not up to me. It's up to the Father. And that's what Jesus says. He says, for I am not speaking on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment, and I must say, and I must speak. said, what I proclaim is what the Father told me. But if you believe it, look at verse 50. This commandment that he's given me is eternal life. He says he's faithful. Yes, it's a hard word, but if you receive it, then you receive eternal life. Nobody wants to hear that they're a sinner. Nobody wants to hear that they're far from God. Nobody wants to hear that they deserve judgment and punishment. But Jesus says, if you can receive that, I'm the way so that you can have forgiveness. And get this. What Jesus is saying here will cost him his own life. Because Jesus cared more about the glory of God. You've heard Pastor Brian say this multiple times now. See, Jesus even says the way to receive eternal life is I've got to die for those sinners. And yet he was willing to do it anyway. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me and have eternal life. See, the bad news is that we're a sinner. The good news is that God made a way through his Son. Come to me and receive forgiveness, joy, peace, love, a relationship, a renewed, restored relationship with the Father. But that only comes by receiving Christ. And if you receive Christ, then we get the Father and we get eternal life. And so here, Jesus is making himself known. All the way back a year ago, on this week, a year ago, we went through the first 18 verses of John, and then we started in verse 19. I did a message on John the Baptist, how John the Baptist was making Jesus known, right? He was the forerunner of the Christ. And that's what we said. John the Baptist was making himself known. In the last message of 2024, in John chapter 12, we have Jesus making himself known. And he's saying, here's the reasons I came. What will you do with me? Will you receive me and come to eternal life? Or will you reject me and one day be judged for that? And see, it's important to understand that what Jesus is doing here is the very same thing that we do now as we make Jesus known. Notice verse 49 again. Jesus says, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment. That's exactly what we go and proclaim. This isn't I'm not speaking on my authority. We're saying the Father tells me what to say. He gave us a word. And we go and proclaim this. And what do we know? We know that this commandment is eternal life. So what I say, I just say what God said. I just say what he said. That means people are going to reject you. But they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the Father. And we can know that what Jesus says is true. If they continue to reject him, they will stand before him. But for all those who believe, they receive eternal life. So what we do is we go tell that Jesus represents the Father. He came to radiate the light. He will render judgment for those who reject him, but for those who believe, he is the way of eternal life. So here's my question to you today. So have you received Christ? Have you made him Lord of your life? Or is he that person that's there when you get in trouble? Or he's the person that on Sunday you say, now Lord, I know I wasn't good this week, but I'm coming to church on Sunday, so I need you to bless this coming week. Is he just there to get you out of a jam? Is he there to make you feel better about yourself? Or is he the Savior of the world who came and lived the perfect life and died for our rebellious hearts, so that by believing in him, we could have eternal life. Have you truly received Christ? Are you here today as one of those, like we talked about earlier? This is another invitation that you're not going to do anything about. You're already shut down. You've already turned me off. And you're just ready to move on. If that's you, I pray that the Spirit is speaking to you now and that you respond. Because I would not want to face Jesus on the last day in that state. And that's not to scare you. That's to say there is another way. Jesus is standing there with his arms wide. Believe in him. Be forgiven. But don't leave here today with a colder and harder heart. I love you too much. I love everybody in this room too much for that to happen. So if that's you today, I pray that the Spirit is speaking to you. And if it's speaking to you, don't say, "That's not me." Say, "God, is it me?" Allow God to do a work in your heart. Maybe you're a believer here today. And you'd say, "You know what? I'm looking forward to the new year. And I just want to focus my eyes on Christ." And maybe there's something in this why Jesus came today. One of these points. I won't even hit on them. But there's one of these points that the Spirit is saying, Let's do some business on one of those, or maybe multiple ones. Or maybe today you just need to praise God and thank him for Jesus coming. Why Jesus came? Why did he come for me? God, thank you for that. I don't know how you need to respond, but I pray that the Spirit is working today, and I pray that you will be obedient. If you need to come down to the altar, that will be open. You can always respond there in your seat, or you can get with somebody else and pray with them. But I just pray, be sensitive to the Spirit, however he is leading, and obey and respond. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your word. It truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, from this passage today, God, I just want to thank you for sending Jesus. For the rebel sinners that we are, who love the darkness more than light, God, you loved us enough to send your Son here to be like us, to take on flesh, to be fully God and yet fully man, and to live the perfect life, to be rejected, to be mocked, to be scorned, to be beaten, and ultimately hung on the cross. Not because of anything he had done, but because of what we had done against you. And yet we see that he was willing to do that. And then you rose him from the dead on the third day. So that through him we could be set free from our sin. We could be forgiven. We could have a new relationship with you. And we can know that one day we'll stand before him as our Savior for all eternity. So God, I just pray that today in this time of invitation, believers, brothers and sisters would just say, "Thank you, God, for why Jesus came. He came for me. And I praise you and I thank you for that." If there's anyone here today who does not know you, I pray that they would not leave here without confessing their sin, calling out to you to save them. Pray that they would talk to me, they would talk to a deacon, they would talk to a Sunday school teacher, they would talk to someone without leaving today to make sure that they are receiving and believing in Christ so that they can truly have eternal life. And God, for anyone else, as your spirit is moving, I pray that they would respond. So we just ask now that you bless this time. And it's all for your honor and glory that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand for our invitation.